broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe in and follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. It is about the rule of law. We're also convinced that revolution is a bad deal, folks. Reject it. We don't want revolution. We don't want secession. We don't want a con. We want a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth with pure application of the principles that made America great in the first place. That starts with a good, honest, moral people. America's great because America's good. If you want to make America great again, you got to make America moral or good again, if you will. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you can help us with the peaceful restoration goals. Takes a lot of work, takes a lot of money, takes a lot of eternal vigilance, and we need your support in every bit of it. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. A quick recap of yesterday's live broadcast. Sam made two predictions. One, vote fraud to escalate big league in 2018 and beyond. Just watch. Vote fraud will be everywhere. And there you have that. Secondly, Sam Bushman predicts for 2018 free speech to be on the ropes. If we're not very careful in 2018 and beyond, it's getting harder and harder to be able to freely say what you want to say, think what you want to think. They label you and shut you down and kick you off Twitter and kick you off YouTube and Facebook shuts you down. And man, it's just out of control. Welcome to the broadcast. In fact, Roy Moore wisely refusing to concede the race. You got an opinion op-ed piece written by a bunch of, sad to say, Mormon women. They believe a Republican Party that supported Roy Moore is no party for, quote, Christian conservatives. Well, they lie, because Sam and Kurt are both Christian conservatives, and we think Roy Moore's fantastic. Are we okay? Are we willing to give a pass to sexual harassment or abuse? Of course not. But we don't believe it's real when it comes to Roy Moore. We don't believe a lot of it's real when it comes to Donald Trump. Why? Because women have been paid money to lie. That's why. All right. Planned Parenthood's protests continue. They got a protest slogan called, quote, My Body, My Choice. License plates to promote this slogan are on sale now in Nebraska. Happy New Year. California, the biggest open market for marijuana now, available on tap. Wow. Bad things happening in 2018 already, folks. I guess this Esprit, is that how you say it? Anyway, clothing founder, her name is Susie Tompkins Buell. She provided $500,000 to a campaign to fund women who are accusing Donald Trump of sexual harassment. You think that money makes you wonder how real things are, huh? So look, this one lady can just put her money where her mouth is and promote women to accuse people of sexual harassment. We can't get $5 to run the new media taking center stage if we tried. Wow. All right, the media will tank if I'm not there, says the Donald. So they have to let me win again, says Trump. He claims they made him win the first time, and I have been predicting that and saying that for a long time. Glad Donald agrees with me. Do you think they'll have him win again? Police arrested a man who was found to have multiple firearms and ammunition in the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Houston around New Year's Eve. Police later concluded that the man who was arrested had no unlawful intent. Don't you think they ought to figure that out before they arrest the poor guy? Wow, where's the rule of law? Where's due process? FBI obtained search warrant for David A. Clark Jr., former Milwaukee, Wisconsin sheriff, and they looked into this little tiff he got into on a plane with a citizen, but they closed the investigation last May due to lack of evidence. Now, one, that puts David Clark in the right. Not guilty is the point. The investigation doesn't even have enough evidence to continue. But here's the problem I have with it. How come we're just finding out about this now? what, 8 months later or something? Negligent press. I guess they're just too busy trashing Donald, trashing the Republicans, trashing anything good, lovely, or of good, or lovely or of good report, all on the name of what? It's amazing. Freedom-loving Americans must support the brave Bundys, writes Larry Klayman in WND.com. He's asking citizens to help support the Bundys in the face of government tyranny. I want to be very clear. It's rogue agents in government that we have a problem with. We are not anti-government. In fact, we're pro-proper role of government, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. California prosecutes man for posting anti-Muslim messages on Facebook. But here's the problem. He only posted five messages. I don't know how that goes to the level of harassment. People have been harassing me on new media. Pence's neighbor at a place that Mike Pence, vice president, was staying at for vacation, trolls him with a, quote, "Make America Gay Again" sign. Is that harassment? How does that work? See, I'm predicting that free speech will be on the ropes if we're not really careful. It'll be on the ropes several ways. One, because I think they're literally using these big media companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google and, you know, all this stuff, YouTube, to literally shut down our ability to gain followers and viewers and listeners and whatever, readers. That's one way. The other way, though, is, look, there's just not enough money. Might be less expensive to broadcast or to write or to do the things that the big media used to do, but you still got to have a couple of nickels to rub together to do it, right? So they're shutting us down in multiple ways. They're trying to run this incredible discredit campaign that we're all guilty of fake news. As far as I can tell, the biggest fake news folks that I see are the mainstream press news folks. I mean, it's hard to know. Almost everything they peddle has a manipulated agenda. It's not about the who, what, when, where, why of a story. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It's still available on demand at LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I got a mixture of sad news and happy news, Kurt. Turns out that the beloved Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the LDS Prophet, the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the president, Thomas S. Monson, died at his home in Salt Lake City at age 90. So that's sad news, Kurt. We'll miss him.
Yeah, it was, as far as I could tell, it was just after 10 o'clock last night.
Yeah, peaceful death, surrounded by friends and family and loved ones. Died basically of old age, from what we understand, right?
Yeah, age of 90. He, you know, he dealt with diabetes type 2. And,
yeah, that's
but,
right.
But, you know, I mean, I'd say, you know, it was just his time.
And so that's sad news because he's gone and we'll miss him. You know, whenever a great leader passes away, it's a loss for us, right? Yeah. But the reason that I say that it's happy news is because we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe him to be a prophet of God. We also believe that there's life after this life. And so Thomas S. Monson and his lovely wife, what, Frances?
Yes.
You know, she passed away some years before and he missed her terribly. He expressed that
about four years ago.
Many occasions. And so he joins her. We believe in life after death. We believe in families together forever. And as a result, he joins his wife. And so, you know what? We take delight in that because I think that's something that he was waiting for, excited about, if you will.
Yeah.
And I know that's not a typical view for most folks. Even Christians are, you know, a little bit hesitant about this. But the Mormons are not. I believe that Thomas S. Monson and his wife, his lovely wife, Frances, are together. I believe they've got a full, intact, eternal family. And so, you know, from that point, we take delight because, you know what, when you get older and you've got diabetes and things like this, life can be tough. You know, the president before him, by the name of Gordon B. Hinckley, talked about, you know, the golden years are kind of laced with lead. You know, in other words, hey, sometimes the physical body, you know, it's tough, right? But he rests from all that and he lives again, thanks to Jesus Christ and his infinite atonement. He was resurrected and invited all men to follow him, and he's the giver of life, if you will. And so, you know what? We take delight that he's with his family, with his wife. We take delight that there's life after this life, or life after death, if you will. We take delight in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all men. We take delight in the idea that they're together as a family, that he's out of pain and suffering and struggling from the mortal body of earth life. There's just a lot to celebrate with this, even though we will miss him. When we get back, that's my kind of, little tidbit. Kurt can add to that in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so we're talking about the president or prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints passed away in his home just after 10 o'clock last night in Salt Lake City at the age of 90 years old. And so it's sad that we'll miss him. It's delightful that he lives again. And Mormons believe in eternal families. So he's with his wife, in my mind, right where he belongs. So that's the good news. And, overall, we take joy in the afterlife and in the power and in the opportunity that Jesus Christ offers through his resurrection. Anything else to add to this, Kurt?
You know, I was trying to look up the little part where I read about, when he mentioned about his wife passing away. Here's what he said. This is, basically 4 years ago. Just to explain the love that I think, in life you got to have examples of good things to follow. And
you got to have role models to look up to, too, Kurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You need real love stories to look at. And he said this after his wife's passing. He said, her loss has been profound. She and I were married in the Salt Lake Temple on October 7, 1948. Tomorrow would have been our 65th wedding anniversary. She was the love of my life, my trusted confidant, and my closest friend. To say that I miss her does not begin to convey the depth of my feelings. So those are some pretty good words, I think.
Amen to that. And there's role models. There's to I don't know if I want to call them fairy tale romances, because the point is sometimes they sound like fairy tale, but they can be real. And that's kind of the takeaway message, the hope. You know, that doesn't mean there's not struggles with it. That doesn't mean there's not some ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
But it does have to do with the gratitude expressed, the appreciation, the understanding, the love that's built is deep, forged over years and years and years of love and service and mutual appreciation, and it just goes on and on. But I agree that we need role models, we need examples, we need people who are doing it, people who have done it, and we need to look towards those people. There's only one problem with that, Kurt. You know what the problem with that is, don't you?
The problem with what is it, Sam?
Well, with role models and people doing it right and examples of success and all those kinds of things. You know the problem with that, don't you?
Well,
it's kind of like the Ten Commandments.
People would try to duplicate it.
Yeah.
And then there'd be more people being nice and
more peace, more love, more stability, more marriage.
I can see that as a big problem.
It's a serious problem, my friend.
Yeah.
Just imagine what would happen if people did that. Just imagine if, like, there was no abortions or anything. You know?
Yeah.
Just think about that. Women would be violated everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, our prayers are with the family of Thomas S. Monson. In other words, those who are living. Because, you know, it's hard for them. I'm sure that they understand the eternal perspective and that they take delight in the same things we do. But it doesn't mean that it's easy.
Yeah. Right.
You'll still miss him. It's still, you know, it's still kind of a sad event. You know, whenever someone leaves us, whether it's for a trip, a longer trip, or, you know, moving on to the next opportunity of eternal life, it's a...
I don't know if you knew this, but he was a big Michigan football fan, Sam.
And I didn't know.
This
that,
is no. one thing I did not know about.
Okay.
I mean, I'm
I know that he was a basketball fan because my boys would see him at jazz games.
Yeah, he so liked to go I know that. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this KSL piece by Sean Walker says, "The Victor Valiant, President Monson loved Michigan football." And it says, as a leader of a worldwide faith, President Thomas S. Monson often delivered inspired sermons and pronounced blessings. He was also occasionally known to utter the phrase, "Go Blue." Now, when I, you know, at least heard Go
Blue,
I'm
thinking... You think he's trying to promote the Democrats, don't you?
No, I'm thinking BYU, you know.
Oh,
but
I'll
anyway,
the Democratic Party
he said...
for blue on
Yeah, that's right. They're the red states and the blue states, and I can't remember which one's which. But anyway,
I think the reds are the Republicans. Yeah. I only remember it because it's two R's, right?
It's okay. That's good a way to do it. I'll have to remember. Anyway, it says like his predecessor, Gordon. Let's see. Wait a minute. I missed a little part. In recalling President Monson's ministry and devoted citizenship in the community, it's worth noting that he was an ardent football fan, particularly of the University of Michigan Wolverines. You know, this is just something that I never understood. Like his predecessor, Gordon B. Hinckley, President Monson was a proud graduate of the University of Utah, which, at least to me, that makes no sense of why you'd be a fan of the University of Michigan. You know, I mean, I'm still lost there. It says he received his business manager degree cum laude in 1948. Not like most of us, if we get a degree, it's thank you, laude, you know. But it says, and worked for a time on faculty in the College of Business. President Monson was also a BYU graduate. He earned a Master of Business Administration degree from the church's flagship school. Anyway, it goes on. It gives you some other ones. Even got an honorary doctorate from Utah, you know, Utah Valley University as well.
I think
but
I'm up for the
says,
next honorary doctorate, by the way.
I think you are.
Yeah, that's right.
But as a football
Dr.
fan.
Samuel Bushman, predicting vote fraud escalating
that's right.
in 2018. You know,
there
that
you
kind
go.
Of thing.
It says, as a football fan, there was no team that could rival his love of Michigan. It says, according to his 2010 biography, now I should have read that, you know, but it says, President Monson recorded Michigan scores, wins, and losses in his journal every New Year's Day, Swinton wrote. That's the author of his biography. His affinity for the Wolverines went back to the days of Bo Schembechler, He was their coach from 69 to 89, who enjoyed a friendship with former BYU coach Lavelle Edwards and made several favorable comments about the LDS Church.
So there's the tie. Hey, he was good friends with Lavelle, and everybody who's a Mormon loves Lavelle Edwards and thinks, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever, at least in collegiate sports, right?
Yeah, and the story says, whenever Michigan played, President Monson was known to watch wearing maize and blue. Now, maize, I guess, is another way of saying yellow or whatever, whenever possible. It's a rite of passage, is what the biographer wrote, to be invited to join Grandpa in the basement on game day. He presents each grandchild with a Michigan cap in a special ceremony with the Michigan fight song playing in the background. For years, I just didn't
know. Now, if you're not too careful, and Kurt spends too much time on this, we talk about this prophet of God, and then we spend 80% of the time talking about his sports love. Pretty soon people think
well, it just makes him into kind of a normal person, though. I mean, at least where, you know, somebody has a love for football and that. And then it tells about his grandchildren, and it says, for years when the team was ahead, he would call his friend John Burt and play the Michigan fight song over the phone. John was not a Michigan supporter. When the Wolverines won, he called John yet again, enjoying his success. So it was just, you know, funny little tidbit about him.
Yeah, and they do understand that Mormons, and we spend a little bit more time on this, ladies and gentlemen, partly because we're Mormon, but partly because we believe we have a responsibility to kind of, you know, when we know a lot about something or have knowledge on something, whether it be computers or, you know, we've got a little bit more of an inside scoop than folks on this, right? I mean, we're from Utah. Two, we are a believer that he is a prophet of God. And so, you know, our goal is severalfold. To one, kind of share who he really was, to share that, you know, a lot of people believe we think that, like, the prophets, like Jesus or something. We don't think that at all. We think that Jesus Christ is the only sinless person, the only begotten Son of the Father. We think of Thomas S. Monson as an incredibly good man, an honest man, a wise man, but just a man nevertheless. Now, we do believe he's been given the apostolic mantle,
if you will. Yeah.
And so,
like Moses, or
because of that, we do believe him to be a prophet. But let's be very clear: we don't think Thomas S. Monson's a god or Jesus Christ or anything even close. He's just a man, a good man, nevertheless, and a man called of God, without a doubt. But just a man. And I want to highlight that because I think sometimes people get confused on the Mormon doctrine or what we really believe or think.
That's right.
And I want to make sure that there's, you know, kind of clarity on that. I think that's worth our time. And so Kurt's highlighting that he is just, you know what? He's a guy, just like you and I.
Yeah, and one other really exceptional thing that he did, at least in my opinion, as a young man, he served as a leader of the congregation. We call it a bishop in our church. And in his congregation, we call them wards, there were 85 widows. He made sure and speak at the funerals of every one of those 85 widows.
But he also, in life, did his best to organize one of the greatest care efforts that we know of.
In other
words, to reach out and care for them in life and then speak in
very chicken Christmas dinners.
Terms relating to testimony about the afterlife as well.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. 669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so one gentleman passed away. Our prayers are with his family. Another gentleman, I don't know if this is passing away, but it's pretty close at least. Orrin Hatch announces retirement by end of term. Did you see this, Kurt?
Well, yeah.
Is he out for reals, yeah. Kurt? We hear rumors of this, then he's back, and then he's this, then he's that. Then he, you know, what's the real
truth?
I think
he's heading to the last roundup this time. And, you know, in this case, you know, he's going to take the victory lap, you know, because he's got basically the whole year. I mean, his term will end this year, but... You know, and he won't have to worry about running for re-election. I bet you he's got a massive war chest built up that he can, you know, help his pals out with or whatever.
In his defense, though, at least he didn't leave early and leave us with no senator. And at least he didn't stay late so that we can force a special election and he can get his, you know, personal friends inside there. At least he's leaving it to the election process. I got to give him some credit for that, Kurt.
Yeah, compared to Chaffetz. You know,
well, or others who, you know, run for election with a big war chest and their popularity, get elected, and then full well know they're not going to finish their term. And then they know that they can get their, quote, insider in there as an incumbent to run against the next, you know, election cycle or whatever you want to say. I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they've anointed one, you know, already, basically. That is, of course, Mitt Romney.
Who's they, Kurt?
Well, the insider Republicans.
Oh, yeah, those guys. The swamp monsters have already...
That's right.
You know, now Romney's Twitter location, by the way, has already been updated to Utah as the Senate seat opens. So he's not promising that he's coming, or he hasn't said anything. He said he hasn't decided, but he updated his Twitter handle to there. Kind of hint, but I'm not announcing, if you will. In my opinion, that's the biggest trial balloon you could ever see.
Yeah, good point.
And, you know, Trump tried to get Hatch to stay. You know, Trump pouring praise on Orrin Hatch, which I would never do. Nevertheless, I'm not really for Romney either. You know, there's debates on if Romney would be better than Hatch. There's pros and cons for sure. At least in my mind, Romney has some business experience, which Orrin doesn't have. The concern is they're both just so liberal, it's hard to say. The only problem that I see is I don't see a single guy that could stand up and get elected that could make a difference from Utah that would be acceptable to me, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of anybody?
Well, I mean,
you got to have the realistic prerequisites, Kurt.
I know. I mean, yeah, but I voted for him before. I'd vote for him again.
Oh, I would too.
Scott Bradley, you know.
Sure. But, and I think from a character point of view, from a knowledge point of view, from an experience point of view, from all the right qualifications, Kurt, Scott Bradley would be a stellar candidate. No doubt about it.
The Deseret News and KSL and those guys could all make him senator in a heartbeat.
Well, they could if they chose to. That's right. But they won't. And without money, without enough ground troops, and without enough media, those three kind of factors. And I'm not saying it's got to be a certain exact number of dollars or exact number of ground troops or you know, foot soldiers, whatever you want to call them, or you know, a certain amount of media dollars. You know, I don't know the exact combination. I just know it takes that to really get it done.
Well, like, for example, what does it cost to have the front page of the New York Times put your name on it? As far as I know, you can't
even do it. Or what does it cost them?
I'm saying
if you're a Christian constitutional conservative, it's not available to you, my friend. There is no cost.
Yeah.
If you're a liberal, then if you're like a pervert or a liberal or a celebrity or somebody else, they'd probably give it to you for free. They'd probably spend money to give it to you, Kurt.
Yeah, the New York Times headline front page says, Orrin Hatch, Utah Senator, to retire, opening path for Mitt Romney. So what
there you go.
You
can't buy that kind of coverage, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's millions of dollars worth of stuff, and it's the same thing in Utah, you know, where you've got any of the media organs that are the, you know, main ones, they're touting him all the time.
Now, the real truth is if Trump wants Romney, and Trump's just going against Romney, knowing full well that's what it'll do to, you know, marshal out the forces to elect him, right? Now, you can laugh at me, but Romney and Trump used to be good friends. They were incredibly complimentary of each other in yesteryear times, Kurt.
I know. It sure was. It's kind of like a love-hate relationship. Huh?
Either that or a very, very, very manipulated to the people delivered relationship. I don't know which.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all I can tell you is interesting. So do you think we'll get a candidate that we could vote for? Or do you think it'll just be, you know, Mitt's the deal?
I think we'll get Mitt's the deal.
For example, Mitt Romney praises Donald Trump in the past. Have you heard this, Kurt?
Yeah.
Check it out.
Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people. He's done it here in Nevada. He's done it across the country. He understands that our economy is facing threats from abroad. He's one of the few people who stood up and said, you know what, China has been cheating. They've taken jobs from Americans. They haven't played fair. We have to have a president who will stand up to cheaters. We believe in free trade and free enterprise, but we don't believe in allowing people to cheat day in and day out. I spent my life in the private sector, not quite as successful as this guy, but successful nonetheless, sufficiently successful to understand what it takes to get America to be the most attractive place in the world for innovators, entrepreneurs, and business and job creators. I think it's time for us to recognize we can't keep going down the road we're on. We have to dramatically change course. So I want to say thank you to Donald Trump and look forward to seeing you out of the trail. Thank you, Donald.
Does it get more glowing than that, Kurt, in your opinion?
No, it's pretty good, but, you know, I can tell you, you can play some stuff that's pretty rough from Mitt.
So here's the question.
Which, you know, you just got to ask
yourself.
What's
the truth?
What's going on, Mitt? Yeah.
I'll tell you what's going on. We're being played for suckers by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't care who's elected as long as we don't get a guy like a Scott Bradley or somebody who would really make a change in America, Kurt. A real constitutional, conservative, Republican Christian that would stand on principle. You know, they don't want a guy like that in there, Kurt. It's that simple. But our prayers are we get somebody that we can vote for, that's for sure. I will not vote for Mitt Romney. But it'll be interesting to see how the battle shapes up now between Mitt and the Donald. And, you know, maybe we ought to talk to Scott Bradley and he ought to reach out to Donald and say, hey, Donald, will you back me against Mitt? Mm. All right. Rand Paul hits the news cycle, Kurt. Did you see this?
No.
Rand's team just emailed me.
Oh, okay.
And Rand Paul, quote,
an email poured in.
There has never been a better time to end foreign aid and a better place to start than with Pakistan now. So, yeah. As you know, Donald's trying to cut, you know, expenditures over there. And Rand Paul's jumping to Donald's defense and saying, good idea. Let's get it done. Never been a better opportunity. So they had a petition and I signed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, here's a few things from his Twitter handle.
From who?
Senator Rand Paul.
Rand, okay.
Yeah, he says, we shouldn't give money to countries that mass burn our flag and put Christians in jail for gossip.
Oh, good.
There's
point.
No reason in the world we should give Pakistan a penny when they put Christians in jail or put people in jail that helped to helped us get bin Laden. Imagine that, Sam. Another one says, no foreign spy program reauthorization without citizen protections. One says, agreed. That's why I introduced a bill to defund them as well. Unfortunately, it was blocked. Let's try again this year. Anyway, Rand Paul, here's a few more headlines for him. Washington Examiner, Rand Paul on cutting aid to Pakistan. We don't like to see our money going to countries, you know, and you heard that part. CNS
Yeah, why
News.
Should we fund people that want to try to kill us?
Yeah. Paul on Trump's, I couldn't agree more about the Pakistan deal with Rand Paul, so yeah.
And all I'm telling you is we need to, I really told you that if we're going to cut taxes, which I support, by the way, don't misunderstand me, we're going to have to cut spending. And in my opinion, where's the least painful place to start the spending cuts? It's with foreign aid, Kurt. What? Who's going to get mad? The Iranians? I mean, is that who's going to get super mad about that one?
I think so, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to
cut
there.
If they're smart, they just get some of their own plates and print up some of their own money like the Federal Reserve does. I mean, because, you know, I mean.
Well, theirs will just turn out like
TV. Why couldn't they do that?
You know, they don't have international, what, oil deals that make their, you know, currency de facto of the world kind of stuff like we do. But
yeah, like
nevertheless, the point is that that's where we start. Rand Paul's right as rain and Donald's right. Can we create a groundswell to get this done and cut spending? Our prayers are the answer is yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. I warned of this, Kurt. I was concerned, and now we're starting to see it. So the Bundys had a mistrial, which a lot of people were applauding. And I said, you know what? It's good news because it's better than keeping them in jail. And it's better than, you know, denying them their due process rights. And it's better than letting the government get away with their literal manipulation of the case and their fraudulent covering up of evidence and lying to the court and all kind of things. So I guess it's good. But remember, the judge should just say the government's so out of control here, case dismissed, and or transparently given everything to the jury to let the jury decide. But when the judge circumvents it and declares a mistrial, what it really means is they can open it up to try them again. And that's what my fear was, and I warned that it was a concern. A lot of people said, Sam, no, that's not the way it's going to work. And well, I pray that's true, but time will tell. Beware. And my goal is to give praise where praise is due. And you know what? I'm a critical thinker. And our goal is to make sure that you critically think through some of these complications of reality here that we see on the ground when you have a hostile rogue agent in government. It's very difficult. And so I warned of this and said, look, be careful. They might try to retry these guys. And everybody said, no, Sam, it won't happen. And I prayed it wouldn't happen, but I was worried that it would. And then the judge scheduled a pretrial date and said, we'll see if we're going to get there or not. But it's and then scheduled a trial date. And I was concerned when that happened, thought, you know, they say it was tentative. Well, now we see a new headline that says this, quote, feds ask judge for a new trial against the Bundys, writes Tim Pierce. So now the feds are literally asking to retry them. Will the judge, Navarro, by the way, an Obama appointee, a Harry Reid pushed through judge, all right, will this person, Gloria Navarro, will she say, oh, no, the government's just too culpable here, this is a problem, or will the judge allow a retrial? We're watching to see, Kurt, but I'm concerned now, because not only have they scheduled the trial date tentatively, but now you got the feds asking to retry. Will the judge buckle under pressure or reject the belligerent, out-of-control rogue agents in government once and for all? Any thoughts on this, Kurt? It's a big concern story in my mind.
Well, yeah, they're basically just after him, Sam, and this is part of the whole, you know, getting rid of the swamp, and you got these swamp critters that are everywhere. In a related piece, the Washington Times got the headline, it basically says, Kit Cliven Bundy in the mouth and take his cattle, says the Bundy case is a bear case. Bears remarkable and unsettling similarities to the Waco standoff.
You know, now, by the way, that's a spot-on report, but why is the mainstream press and the government literally a couple of years late on this story? They were attacking the Bundys as the enemy of the people. Hey, I was on the ground as a reporter. I've got credibility in the news. I was there firsthand. Not a one of them called me to get the facts in the case. Not a one of them did the digging, the due diligence to tell the tale as it needed to be told back then. Not a one of them was willing to listen to my documentation that, hey, the FBI was literally playing games and being dishonest and everything else. We had firsthand information on the ground. We knew sheriffs who were involved. We were literally there for the peaceful rally at the start. We had inside reporting and a relationship with a lot of the different people that were there. And all I'm telling you is all they did was mock us, tell us that we were fake news guys and that we didn't have any credibility, and then all they did was trash the Bundys. I'm glad they came to tell the truth now, Kurt, but it's sure a day late and a dollar short right now. What they ought to be writing is, Donald, can you help free the innocent in this case? But see, they'll go to the next level and admit that, well, the government bit off more than they can chew on this one, and man, this is not cool. But they're still in their defensive denial type posture as mainstream press folks. Why don't they come out with the gloves off and say, you know what? We're not tolerating this. Donald, we need your help desperately. Don't you dare let Judge Navarro, an Obama appointee, a Harry Reid stooge, don't let this lady literally abuse these innocent people any further. Every time juries have said not guilty, every time it's resulted in mistrials, there are no legitimate truths in this case that are being told by the mainstream press. They said that the Bundys were violent and dangerous. That's why they had to stay in jail. That was a lie. It was a government, a rogue agent and government attempt to deny them due process. When is the government going to be held accountable here? And I appreciate this Washington Times group at least acknowledging that, hey, this is going all down the wrong road, and now we see evidence. But we knew this before, Kurt. This is nothing new. It's just that a whistleblower inside the BLM proved it, and the judge saw it so blatantly in court that she had no choice but to declare the mistrial. But they should have known this, Kurt, with a little due diligence digging. I mean, how much can I dig versus the war chest of the Washington Times? They have no excuse, and I appreciate them doing the right thing now, but they're still not going far enough, Kurt, to change the game.
Good point. Yeah, they ought to be jumping on the bad wagon to get all those, you know, innocents out of jail. You know, in their piece, they talk about the Waco thing where they say surviving Davidians insisted federal agents opened fire on them first. But when investigators sought the audio and video recordings made by the BATF and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they were informed that all the cameras had malfunctioned and the audio tapes had disappeared along with other physical evidence.
Now, what if you said that happened to your IRS records if you were in an audit case?
It says the Clinton administration then prosecuted the surviving Davidians, relying on testimony later demonstrated to be perjured, and sent them off to prison, hoping the whole incident would be forgotten. Later, however, following a tip from a whistleblower, the Branch Davidian's attorney, David Hardy, filed carefully worded Freedom of Information requests.
Now, hold on. You know who David Hardy is, don't you, Kurt?
That's the guy that wrote that book, I'm from the government and I'm here to kill you, right?
That's right, sir.
Yeah. So he says these requests turned up literally tons of missing evidence that agents carted off to a sealed warehouse within hours of the assault on the Davidian compound. It says the warehouse, Mr. Hardy says the warehouse held all the evidence the government had insisted didn't exist and made it clear that the BATF and FBI agents who ended up killing 70 people had come looking for trouble, and when they found it, covered up what they had done and lied to the public and those investigating the incident.
There was no real accountability, Kurt, then, and there isn't now.
Well, and this is exactly the reason that a lot of people showed up there at the, you know, Bundy thing, I believe, Sam, is they...
Well, that's only,
you know,
if you
I know
tell the
Sheriff
truth
Mack
why they were there.
Basically said, hey, I didn't want the same thing to happen to the Bundys that happened in Waco.
And right, or Randy Sam? Weaver, right.
Yeah, good point.
You're right, know, but see, you're willing to report the truth as it really is, Kurt.
Yeah. And they say in this Washington Times piece that Mr. Bundy, like the Davidians a quarter of a century ago, was portrayed in the media as a crazed extremist with a militia ready and even anxious to shoot it out with federal agents simply doing their job. When the confrontation ended, prosecutors went after Mr. Bundy and his allies in a number of cases, most of which ended in acquittals. Then they talk about the key trial, etc., as the trial progressed, and it says the BLM agent in charge, who had a record of playing fast and loose with the rules, was later fired for misconduct in a separate case. A whistleblower informed investigators that he had indeed ordered his men to use excessive force in arresting Mr. Bundy's son, and later ordered his men to kick Cliven Bundy in the mouth or teeth and take his cattle.
Now, by the way, that's a man by the name of Dan Love.
Yeah, not a lot of love lost.
I heard that. Dan Love seems to be full of hate and deception. But nevertheless, all I'm telling you is I'm worried when the feds ask the judge for a new trial against the Bundys. I'm concerned about that big time, folks. Write it down. We'll keep an eye on the ball and let you know what happens next in this case. But wow, can we move to good news before the end of the hour, though? I got some pretty neat news.
Sure.
It's weird news. It's sad news. It's good news all wrapped into one. So here's what happened. Some people went crazy and they shot a lady.
That's good news?
Well, not quite. That's the sad part of the news.
Okay.
The Blaze brought the piece forward. The Blaze does a good job.
Right.
And so a pregnant woman was killed in a shooting. That's the horrible part. But here's the cool part. They rushed the lady's body to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They delivered her unborn baby alive.
Okay.
So the good news is the baby's alive. The bad news is the mom got killed.
Yeah.
But to those who say that a baby, I'm sorry, a, what do you want to call it, Kurt? Something in the woman that exists
right.
isn't like a real live baby.
Right.
And then my question mm-hmm. would be, how did the mom die and the baby get delivered alive then, Kurt?
That's right.
You know, I'm just kind of one of them redneck, slow folks that can't figure things out very well. How mm-hmm. did the mom die and the baby live and get delivered alive then? If the baby doesn't have life in and of itself, Kurt, is that would that be possible?
Yeah.
See, so where's the pro-life guys to take this one all the way to the bank? Hey, mm-hmm. if you guys say the baby doesn't have a life on its own, then how did that all happen? Anyway, so the good news is that the innocent baby is alive. And as far as I understand, family members are delighted. Not that the woman got shot. That's horrible. That's sad. They're stricken with grief.
Right.
But they are delighted that the baby lives on to carry forth her legacy.
Yeah, very good.
And so doctors
that is,
say,
good news.
Doctors saved an unborn baby after pregnant woman is killed during shooting, writes TheBlaze.com. Now, did you see that anywhere else, Kurt, either?
Mm-mm.
You got to go to places like The Blaze or to WND.com or to Russia Today, RT.com or to Newser or to Daily Caller or to, you know, some of these good news sources to get it, or else you're not even going to find this story. But you look it up. It's a delightful story. It's sad the woman got shot, but it's delightful that, hey, it could have been two dead, but one lives on. And when we consider every life precious, we're calling that good news. We're also highlighting that that's a pro-life statement that cannot be ignored by the pro-choice thugs that only want pro-death. Doctors save unborn baby after pregnant woman is killed in shooting. I'm glad they saved the baby, and it just shows, does the baby have a life of its own? It's not possible to argue no in this case. All right, we got another good news story using a gun, too, that will highlight top of next hour, Kurt. This pharmacy owner in Ohio had a gun. You want to know what he calls his? Well, he doesn't call it this. I do. It's a kill-me-not, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll tell you about it next hour. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. This is the Widow's Mites Radio Network. We need every penny we can get. Please support us and donate today. It's absolutely necessary. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. This nation shall endure.